observing all the rules as I thought, wondering why people flashed their lights at me, swerved to avoid me, but just kept motoring on anyway. Discovered that I was actually driving still on the French side of the road in the south of England, and discovered it is quite difficult actually to go against the flow, and not always appreciated when you go against the flow. It's never, I wonder, could we turn this down just a wee bit again? Never easy to go against the flow. It's never easy to stand out against the crowd. None of us want to do it. It's difficult. And it's often we make an excuse for not standing out because we simply say things like, well, everybody else is doing it. Why shouldn't I do it? Everybody else goes here, does that, says this. Why shouldn't I? And that's our excuse for not standing out against the crowd, for not going against the flow. As a teenager, I went through all the things of arguing with my parents about the things that I should wear and how my hair should be in the days when I had a bit more, and where I should go and who I should be with. And my argument was always, but everyone else does that. Why shouldn't I wear this? Why shouldn't I look like that? Why shouldn't I go there? And my dad would patiently look at it and he said, well, not everybody does that. And I would say, what do you mean? And he would say, well, you don't. And that was end of, no more discussion. Everybody's doing it. The thinking behind a lot of our excuses is that the crowd is always right. We look around us, we look at what the majority of people are doing, and we decide, well, if everybody's doing that, they can't all be wrong, so I'll just go with them. And that's very often our mentality. The crowd's always right. The majority of people can't be wrong. How many advertising campaigns have been based on so many million people can't be wrong? Of course they can. If a million people say something that's really foolish and stupid, it's still really foolish and stupid. It doesn't change it. But we easily buy into this thinking of the crowd is always right. In Jeremiah's time, God's people, God's chosen people, people who had experienced God's goodness time and time again, had walked away from him. They had turned their backs on God. They had, over the years, just decided, well, we know better. We look around, we'll see what everybody else is doing, and we'll just go with the flow. We'll just walk away. They were no longer living distinctively as the people of God. Instead, they were being disobedient. They were worshiping idols. They were flagrantly flouting God's law. They were ignoring his word. Everything that they had been given, they simply left and walked away. They probably argued with Jeremiah, Jeremiah, the world has moved on. It's a different place. It's a different time. Different culture around us. Times have changed. Attitudes are different now, Jeremiah, than when you were young. Look at the crowd. Everyone living this way. They can't all be wrong, Jeremiah. We'll just do our own thing. Don't expect us to stand up against the crowd, Jeremiah. Don't expect us to go against the flow, Jeremiah. And so we have this strange episode in this chapter, which Tom so bravely read for us a little while ago. A strange episode with this family, this clan called the Rechabites. They were a group who were opposed to the growing influence of the Canaanite life and worship and religion upon God's people. And part of how they opposed it was simply to separate themselves off. They wouldn't live in the towns. They lived as nomads. They wandered about out in the deserts. They didn't settle, so they didn't plant vineyards. They didn't have farms. They didn't sow seeds. They didn't build houses. They lived in tents. They wandered. They wouldn't settle themselves. They wanted to be ready to move whenever God called them to move. And part of this not having vineyards and not growing grapes was that they didn't drink wine. That was part of their character. They didn't drink wine. This was how they were told to live generations before, and this was how they did live, obedient to the command of their forefather. Their forefather who had said, don't build houses, don't sow seeds, don't grow vineyards, don't drink wine. And this Rechabite clan still lived that way. Now they're in Jerusalem because King Nebuchadnezzar is threatening to sweep through with his armies and cause huge devastation. So they're in Jerusalem to protect themselves. Not out of choice. They're driven there as refugees almost. So the question is, now that you're in Jerusalem, Rechabites, now that you're no longer just separate and different and out in the desert, how will you live? Now that you're in Jerusalem, the big smoke, now that the pressures are all around you, how will you live, Rechabites? Will they compromise their principles? Will they blend in with the crowd? Will they become spiritual chameleons? Or will they stand firm? So Jeremiah is told by God to invite the Rechabites to come to the temple for a drink, a wine and cheese party in the temple. Come on and join us. But the Rechabites stand firm to their principles. Everything's there. The table's laid. There's wine aplenty. Probably the best of wine. It's all there. Sure, just one little glass. Wouldn't it? Just to make everybody feel comfortable. Just come along and be part of it. Just don't be awkward. But they decide, no. This is how we live. These are our principles. This is where we stand. And in Jeremiah's eyes, this attitude shines like a beacon in the midst of a society that's totally corrupt. As Jeremiah looks around, he sees God's people just no different to anyone else. Just going with the flow, blown about by the wind, swept backwards and forwards by the waves of the culture. But the Rechabites, they stand firm. No, these are our principles. This is where we stand. Their faithfulness stands in stark contrast to the unfaithfulness of God's people. Now, we need to notice that what Jeremiah did not say was that God's people were to be like the Rechabites. He didn't say to the people around them, I want you to become Rechabites. I want you to take down your houses, live in tents, live in the desert, stop drinking wine. He didn't say that to them. It wasn't the specific details of their life that really Jeremiah commended. It was the fact that they lived in obedience to a command. They showed integrity. These Rechabite people, in the midst of a society where everybody was doing everything that they wanted to, anything that just seemed good to them, they did. The Rechabites stand firm. They won't budge. Now maybe God's people thought, you know what? Ordinary people can't live that way. Ordinary people can't live that way in the pressures that we face in society. Ordinary mortals just couldn't stand firm. And Jeremiah says, well, hold on a minute. Look at the Rechabites. They're ordinary people. They're human like you and me. And for generations they've stood firm. And here in your midst you can see them sticking to their principles. Maybe such a life was just too rigorous, too difficult for ordinary people. And so God's people just decided, you know what, that's far too difficult. Nobody could really live that way. And the Rechabites proved them wrong again. Jeremiah points to the Rechabites, not because of the specifics of their lifestyle, but because of their integrity. Because they have heard the command of their forefather and they have stuck to it. Even when it wasn't fashionable, even when it was unpopular, even when it was difficult, these Rechabite people stuck to their principles. We live at a time when it is becoming harder to live distinctively Christian lives because of the pressures around us, pressures that we face in work, pressures that we face just in the community around us. Things have changed. Life's different now. We've moved on from that. And the pressure is on us as Christian people to simply go with the flow. Just accept what everyone else is doing. Just be part of it. Even some of our laws in this land make it hard for us to hold on to Christian principles. Just a few years ago, a judge, in making his closing remarks in the case, commented, "We are no longer a Christian country. We are no longer a country that is governed by Christian principles." And it's harder for us as God's people to stand firm. It's easy to become like everyone else, easy to take on the values and the attitudes of the world around us. That's what was happening in Jeremiah's time. God's people were simply looking over their shoulders at everyone else and thinking, well, maybe we should just live like them. Maybe we should just blend in. They became those spiritual chameleons. And so it's a challenge to us as God's people. Whether we continue to do what we're doing in work, in relaxing, and wherever we meet together with other people, whether we're changing and heading off in a few weeks to study or to start work, will we stand firm to our Christian principles? Or will we be like those spiritual chameleons who just blend in with whatever's going on around them so they can't be seen? They're not distinctive. They're not standing out in any way. Again, that verse from Romans chapter 12 is a constant challenge. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. It's very clear. Don't be spiritual chameleons. Don't set your agenda by looking over your shoulder at what everyone else is doing. But it's easy to say, Stephen. It's easy to say. How do we stand firm? The second half of that verse simply says, but be transformed. Not conformed to the world around us, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The renewing of our minds. If we set our standards by looking at what other people are doing and then decide how we live, that's being conformed. Can you imagine some of the athletes that took part in the games in Rio simply looking at other people and deciding, yeah, I think I could probably reach that standard. That's okay. That'll do me. They don't do that. They train to be the best. They train to win. They train to stand out. They're not gauging themselves by what everyone else is doing. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't listen to the chatter and the gossip of the crowd. How easily our ears are filled with what's going on around us. The chatter, the gossip of the crowd around us. And that chatter and that gossip drowns out the word of God coming to us. And we miss out on the best things that God has for us. As Gordy mentioned, this evening we have the last of our three Sunday evenings to help us wrestle with some big issues. It's not done just to fill up your Sunday evening. I'm sure you're busy enough as it is. It's part of helping us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. As we come together and listen to someone lead our thinking, be stimulated, be provoked, be challenged, So that in issues like sexuality, like the culture around us, like politics, we begin to think biblically, we begin to think godly, and we begin to be distinctive people. People who set their standards and their agenda by God's word, not by what the crowd is doing. And that's who we're called to be. That's what we're called to do. So these evenings, and I encourage you to come along and be part of this evening, they help us to think and to live in a Christ-like and a biblical way in a confusing world. There's a lovely story told of a man who worked in a factory, and it was his duty every day to sound the hooter in the morning when work started and to sound it again in the evening when work stopped. So it was important that he had his time right. So every morning when he passed a jeweler's shop, which had a big clock in the window, he would check his watch, set his watch according to that. And he did it for years. Checked the watch, hooter in the morning, hooter in the evening. Then one day he was in the jeweler's shop getting something, and he spoke to the man and he said, "Thank you very much for having that clock in the window that keeps such good time." And the jeweler said, "Yeah, it's great." He said, "I set it every morning and every evening by the hooter that goes in the factory. It does this." We do the same thing. We do the same thing. We set our standards by the world around us, and the world around us is watching us. And together we set these standards, and no one gives a lead. No one gets the time right. No one gets the agenda right because we've turned our back on God's word. Jeremiah's call to the people of God was simply to listen and to obey. Trust and obey, as the old chorus goes. That's our calling. Not to be irrelevant, not to be weird, but to be distinctive, to be known as the people of God, to be known as those who follow Jesus, to be known as those who stand firm on his principles. Jesus, when he speaks in his prayer in John 17, makes it clear that we are to be in this world. The Rechabites coped with the pressure of the world by actually moving away into the desert. Jesus said, "No, you're to be in the world, but you're not to be of it. You're not to be conformed to the world. You're to be in the world, but you're to be radically different. You're to be transformed." Thankfully, Jesus not only gives us the example of how to live, but Jesus gives us the grace to live day by day, to stand firm day by day. And so what about us? What I want you to do is to just take a moment or two and think about the different situations that you find yourself in, different groups of people that you're with. And just think about what it is to be distinctively Christ-like in those situations. Your Christ-like presence will transform those situations. And as we live, sometimes going against the flow, may God give us the grace to stand firm for him. And then on that day, may we hear Jesus as he speaks to us and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Someone who stood firm. Let's pray together. Father, there is something in us that would rather keep our heads down and does not stand out from the crowd. So we pray for forgiveness. Forgiveness for those times, Lord, when we have not been prepared to be known as yours. Forgiveness for when we have changed to become like our surroundings. Lord, we do need to change, but not to be like the crowd around us, but only to be more and more like Jesus. So work in us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. And as we live, may our lives give you praise and glory. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.